Today we start a focused look at CKLN Radio in Toronto in light of the recent denial of their broadcasting license, since this license has been awarded to a commercial rock music radio station. And we have with us Mustafa Hanawi, a former news and Arab-focused programmer at CKLN. Good morning, Mustafa, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, Tamara, and thank you so much for having me on the Tuesday Morning After.
Would you start by talking a little bit about when CKLN started, about its history?
Well, CKLN was one of the first community radio stations in Toronto that began in the 80s and was really an important station in Toronto. One, it served the purposes of musically, culturally, politically, that there was a major void in a city like Toronto. So in terms of hip-hop music, it was really sort of on the cutting edge in terms of the Caribbean community and the Black community in Toronto. In terms of the program that I hosted, Kenny McCann, which was the only Middle East and Arab-focused radio program in all of Toronto, and really held this sort of a position on the dial that was important as well, that people could actually tune into. The other community radio stations, CHRY 105.5 at York, is really difficult to receive in most parts of the city, and as well as CIUT, the University of Toronto Radio, didn't play the same, didn't fill the same role that CKLN played in terms of immigrant communities in Toronto, in terms of outside of the campus, that CKLN played a very major role in.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like their mandate was really close to CKUT's mandate, basically.
Yes, it was very similar in terms of the community involvement, broader community involvement, in terms of the programming itself, in terms of being a not-for-profit radio station, in terms of being widely accessible to many different people and communities. It was very similar.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened? Do you know why the station got shut down and when?
Well, it really began in 2006. And actually when CKLN was sort of at its peak, I mean, CKLN had just moved studios, brand new equipment, brand new recording equipment. You know, a lot of its talent in terms of musically, I mean, people who would be programmers on CKLN who ended up being the main producers at, you know, the CBC The Current, or hip-hop DJs such as DJ X, who became very well known in terms of Toronto, and after sort of corporate hip-hop R&B station had opened up in Toronto, it took a lot of the talent at CKLN, but really began in 2006 when a very sort of apolitically minded sort of conservative students really shut down the mandate of CKLN, and, you know, through the board, and literally pretty much shutting down all of the programming and locking out programmers, and it became extremely nasty for up until now, and until the CRTC decision to take off the license of CKLN.
Mm-hmm. So CKLN has been non-operational for a few years before CRTC ever decided to not renew their license. Is that what happened?
That's what happened, and a group of programmers began to start an online radio station that sort of countered what was happening at CKLN. I mean, lots of people are disappointed, and maybe just to give more detail in terms of the breadth of the programming, CKLN had the only sort of taxi driver radio program, which was widely listened to. Kenny McCann, which was the only Arab community radio program, the only real decent in terms of cutting edge hip-hop and urban music, what really came out of CKLN, as well as you know, in terms of the news programming, which was critical, which was the alternative voice in terms of the city of Toronto. So really large scale programming around International Women's Day, Political Prisoner Week, So all of these things were literally lost, and there was just ambient techno for multiple years to lock out the programmers. That's what happened. The programmers were literally locked out during this period. I mean, it's hit a low note for, I think, a lot of people who were really involved in CKLN for a number of years, and it's a big loss. I mean, to that group of people on Ryerson campus who thought they were being really edgy and smart, have lost, you know, what was a really significant symbol of Ryerson.
Which brings my next question. Is there anything else in a huge urban center like Toronto to fill in the gap that the loss of CKLN left, as far as you know?
No, because CIUT went through a similar process. It never lost its licensing, but its programming mandate had changed in order to become for-profit. And so, and what they did for-profit was play bad techno music. I mean, no offense, I like techno too, and techno can be great every once in a while, but programming, nightly programming, 7 days a week. So it cut its programming in terms of the community-based or news-based programming to almost nothing, and CHRY 105.5 is hard to receive outside of the immediate area of York University. So nothing has really filled in the void except independent media, which is mainly based online, which, again, in terms of reaching, it reaches a lot of people, but it reaches a lot of, you know, people from a particular sort of
niche, I guess.
Yeah, a particular niche. It's not something that people tune into on the dial on their way to work or in their taxis or in their homes, people who don't have internet, people who don't use computers. So it really lost the breadth of its audience. And nothing has been able to fill that void.
Right. And you kind of touched on that already, but would you share any analysis you might have on what does it mean for a place like Toronto not to have an independent, easily accessible community campus radio station? As far as we know, potentially never, or at least not in the foreseen future.
What it does is that it really sort of takes away, it takes away an alternative to people who might be looking for an alternative to CBC or to sort of mainstream hip-hop stations or mainstream music stations or corporate music stations, where a lot of people found themselves and found their voice or found their music through that as teenagers. And we're not talking about people who are politicized. We're talking about people who are sort of excluded from the sort of mainstream corporate culture, where the music doesn't speak to them, the news doesn't speak to them. And so that's a really big loss. I mean, for a lot of people who grew up in Toronto, most people, and this is more again musically, people recorded, you know, Saturday afternoons on their tape decks, DJX or a lot of the different hip hop shows that happened on CKLN. It was like a foundational for a lot of people's music. And also it gave space to new musicians. It gave space to local artists in Toronto. It gave space to, you know, immigrant workers to be able to, you know, have a radio program to speak about their workplace issues. People who are really critical to the Toronto community. It gave sort of a way for prisoners to speak themselves. It gave a way for lots of different voices to find it on CKLN. So it's a huge, it's not just sort of, you know, marginal sort of left-wing kind of voices that are sort of going to be excluded, but a huge percentage of a place like Toronto, which is 51% sort of immigrant now, kind of have really lost their voice because of the closure of CKLN. And I mean Ryerson campus as well, there was a huge participation. It just wasn't very much a community thing. A lot of people at Ryerson were very integral in terms of CKLN as well. So that voice is lost as well through this closure of CKLN. So it's a huge gap.
Indeed. And as you know, as a part of a community campus radio station network, we lost we lost a colleague. I don't know. We lost a sister outlet. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of, I think it's really important. I mean, maybe more in a Montreal sense, and being involved in terms of sister outlet. I worked at CKUT in 2006 as the news collective coordinator, and it was very honorable, you know, experience to have. And that came about because of all the programming I had done at CKLN, and the sharing of programming, the sharing of news broadcasts, the sharing of, you know, being able to have CKUT programmers on CKLN shows when things were happening in Montreal, or the other way, or vice versa, when things were happening in Toronto, and that sharing of resources and of struggles. And I think for people here in Montreal, it's really important to support CKUT, because I think a lot of people take it for granted. And I think a lot of people in our community take it for granted in terms of how meaningful community-based radio programming is, and whether it be through helping out through the funding drives, whether it be participating in the programming, whether it be supporting them and their efforts to secure their position in McGill, because a lot of people take this programming for granted until it's gone and there's dead space. And that's what happened in Toronto. It was a shock to a lot of people when it happened. So I think it's really important, and it's not just something that you kind of tune in or tune out, but it's really part of our city, our communities, and of our sort of analysis of what's taking place in the world. So really just don't cherish it, but really participate in sort of supporting it, and make sure that these radio stations like CKUT can go on for another 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Mustafa. And if you would like to hear more of Mustafa's participation at CKUT, he is a regular at shows like Under the Olive Tree and our news show of the hour and our morning show. And you are listening to Losing Frequencies. The CRTC turns the dial on CKLN 88.1 FM.